Welcome to our third podcast of the quarter, everyone. Hello from Second Year Experience team. My name is Stephanie Ramos, and I'm the program assistant. Today's topic for the podcast will be switching majors and practicing gratitude. Thank you all for tuning in. So to start off, we have two amazing mentors and an amazing guest speaker today, and I'll go ahead and get started with introducing themselves. So, Sasha, do you want to go next?
Okay. Hi, my name's Sasha. I'm a third year 2XL mentor. I am a Ravel College student, and I am currently a cognitive and behavioral neuroscience major.
Can you tell us why you're a 2XL mentor, second year experience mentor? Can you tell us why you decided to become a mentor?
Yeah. So I came in here through Summer Bridge, and I've been part of 2XL as a mentee as well. So those programs definitely allowed for me to find the resources on campus and to be in the opportunities that I am right now. So for me to give back and give feedback on the kind of things that got me there, like, is kind of what leads me into this role.
Yay, that's awesome. And we have another mentor today, so if you could please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Heido. I am a third year transfer student. I am in Warren College, and I am a cognitive science major with a specialization in machine learning and neural computation, and I too am a 2XL mentor.
Yay. And can you tell us why you decided to become a mentor?
Okay. So, similar to Sasha, I was in educational talent search in high school. I was in EOPS and first year experience program in community college. And then here at UCSD, I was part of TRIO. Mm-hmm. So I definitely use these resources. And for me, I wanted to give back to my community. So understanding that I really needed the support and to be given the chance to give it back is why I decided to become a mentor.
Yay, it makes it all worth it. Yeah. So now that our two mentors introduced themselves, we have a guest speaker today, Maya. So could you please introduce yourself, maybe tell us a little bit about who you are, your journey to get here to UCSD, and what you do?
Absolutely. First and foremost, let me just say that I feel like I am in very awesome company. These students are amazing. But again, I am an academic advisor in Muir College, fairly new. But prior to that, I was also program coordinator for the African American Studies minor program, which both roles are amazing. They just are really fulfilling, provides the opportunity for staff advisors to really connect and get to a point of helping students find resources, just understand the navigation, the political landscape of the university. This is not an easy university to navigate, right? And hopefully students see advisors as opportunities or resources to be able to help them kind of choose, navigate, flow through, progress, matriculate, everything that you would think that students need to do while they're on this campus prior to graduating. That's what academic advisors are here for. And hopefully students are using and really taking advantage of what advisors have to offer.
I wish you were my advisor. You made me feel so like at ease and with comfort. But to get started, our topic is switching majors. So just to let this conversation flow, did any of you change your major? You two are students here at UCSD still, and Maya, you went to school. So did any of you change your major? What was that process like? When did you decide, or did you like have a reality check that you needed to switch your major? Just kind of like, I guess, explain to us like how it was for you. Whoever wants to go first.
I can go. So I came in as a human biology major, and I was in the pre-med track. I had a lot of experience in like medical assisting. I liked a lot of the field work I was doing in high school, so before college. But when I came here, I started taking courses, and I think chemistry just became really rigorous for me. And it wasn't something I was enjoying. I really loved the bio, but the chemistry like wasn't for me. And using that that was my reality check. I knew that I had to find something that I enjoyed doing. And then I realized that that path was really not for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I ended up looking for different majors and courses that responded to biology and had the similar concepts. And that led me to cognitive science. And then psychology, I started loving behavior. So then this was like the perfect two, cognitive and behavioral neuroscience. Mm-hmm. And I actually just changed my major this quarter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I stuck through with it, but I wasn't taking courses within my last major. I was just exploring like psychology and cognitive science.
Okay. Well, I was in a similar boat. I was also human bio. Mm-hmm. And you said that you weren't doing so well in the chemistry mm-hmm. classes. So did you go see an academic advisor to kind of like confirm like you need to change your major, or was that something that you decided to do and you were like, I need to do this?
Yeah, so I definitely went to an academic advisor just mm-hmm. because I needed kind of the navigation into something that was similar to biology. So they introduced me to cognitive science, mm-hmm. and that's how I got there.
Okay. And were you accepting of that process?
It was very hard, and especially coming from, like, a mom who wants you to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that's what I wanted, but now I realize, like, I'm more into research. So it's about, like, finding different opportunities that the campus offers you.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Good job on changing your major, though. Yeah. Are you happy with where you're at?
Yeah, so happy. And, yeah. like, it's just way more interesting. Yeah. Like, I love the material I learn.
Amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Anyone else want to go next?
Yes. So, for me, in community college, I was a computer science major. Mm-hmm. And was very passionate about it. Very much love-hate relationship, where it's very difficult, but it's very rewarding. Mm-hmm. So coming into UCSD, I applied as a computer science major. But like many students, they don't get into the major because it's capped here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, that was a really hard choice. It's like, I'm admitted to my dream school, but now I'm going to enter as undeclared. But I made that decision to come here to UCSD. And I attended the majority of the workshops they had for those undeclared majors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the information I kept hearing was, you can try to get into the major, but realistically, it's going to be very difficult. So, as a result, they kept telling us that there's also alternate majors. And I know for me, it's like, my whole life I told myself I was going to be a computer scientist. You know, I don't know how I feel about suddenly switching majors. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do was, you know, I had to step back and look at what is it that I wanted to do with this major, with this degree. Mm-hmm. And if there's any way I can achieve that under a different major. Mm-hmm. So during my first year at UCSD, I was looking at what courses overlap between computer science and a potential major that I was interested in. And with that, I fell into cognitive science. And since I really love learning, and cognitive science is a really big major, I learned about different fields. And I just really enjoyed that. And it gave me the ability to specialize in a specific mm-hmm. field that I wanted. So that's how I fell into cognitive science.
Which is related to computer programming, right?
Yes, the machine learning and neural computation specialization is really similar to computer science or programming for that mm-hmm. matter.
Wow. I love the way you both really took the time out to see and really assess what your specific interests were, what was going to really work for you guys. You know, you had to kind of work through some things. And I know at some point students, if they're switching their major, sometimes they feel like they're settling, mm-hmm. right? Like if they're going to be, like you said, you know, my mom really wanted me to be a doctor. I have to do biology. And, you know, you came in wanting to do computer science. So I don't know. It's almost like we get into this, you know, just kind of tunnel almost, and that's all we can see. So being able to really expand and see what other options are there and how you can still achieve that goal, even though you're not in this particular box or in this particular area, right? And that's pretty much how I try to advise students. So a lot of times students feel like there's only one pathway to one specific career. And really what you want to do, or what at least I wish I had known when I was in school, is thinking about okay, what am I interested in? What am I going to really excel at? What am I going to be most successful in as far as a major, you know, academic discipline? And then how do I kind of pull out those skills that are going to be related to that career that I want to be, right? So even if you're like, let's say pre-health or pre-med, you can still do any major, but you know, just have to take whatever specific courses that, you know, they're recommending for dentistry school or medical school and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, whatever your major is, you're still going to want to be able to market yourself in a way that lets them know, hey, look at me, I'm a literature major, and here are the skills that are going to help me as pre-med or as dentistry or as nursing and, you know, stuff like that. So there's and very important critical analysis skills, you know, that are taught through like arts and humanities, even social sciences. So there's a lot of different ways we can look at it. But it, you know, pretty much all depends on, you know, the student and, you know, how they're, you know, just going through the motions. And also we look at, when we look at success, students very rarely get the opportunity and chance to define what success is for them. It's the institution that's defining that for them. It's professors that might be defining that for them, their family, friends, or whoever. Everybody except for the student is able to define what that success looks like. So then we're sitting back, you know, and I'm speaking as a student, but if we're sitting back and saying, okay, well, I want to be successful, but we're looking at all these extraneous variables that are defining what our success is, we're still not going to be happy because we're not defining the success for ourselves.
Exactly.
When I was in school, like eons and eons ago, I went into school as a civil engineer. Then that summer when I came home, that summer after my first year, had an internship at a civil engineering company, and I literally hated it. And I'm like, wait a minute, oh no, this is going to be a problem, because this is what I'm going to school for. So then I had the whole problem and issue of trying to figure out what direction I was going to go. And then again, tunnel vision, thinking, well, okay, I think I want to be a lawyer. So the only way for me to be a lawyer is for me to get a political science degree. And that was so not true. But I didn't go to academic advising. I didn't reach out a whole lot to folks. I did like Myers-Briggs and stuff like that, but it all pretty much pointed right to lawyer. However, it didn't tell me what to major in. So it's a very interesting process. And I think more than likely that process probably will look different for everybody else. So being able to have like some kind of magic process or step list or something like that, it's good. However, it's pretty much going to be different for everybody. And just being able to kind of know yourself, be able, you know, to be open to those reality checks that you talked about, Sasha. And really being creative, you know, Heido, like you were, as far as, okay, well, since I can't get into computer science, what is going to be the best match and what, you know, has the most overlapping courses? You know, that's like genius. I knew I was in good company when I heard you guys introduce yourselves. That is super amazing. And so I can just already see you guys as mentors, really giving other students who might be in the same situation that you guys are, I mean, just real solid advice as far as how they can just go through and get through and then be okay with their decisions. Mm-hmm. Student, you don't have to, you can make the decision and then you can still change it. Like changing it is okay. Mm-hmm. That is totally fine. Yeah, yeah. It is totally fine. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think they need to hear that too, because many times, and in their second year, it's when it happened mostly for me, trying to find that new major. Being told that it's okay, like you still have time, they feel a lot of pressure into deciding, or they feel like they have to decide. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's definitely not easy. Like I'm here where I'm at and I'm happy, but it took a lot to get here. Like, oh, yeah. So it's definitely a process.
Kudos to you for going through that process. And to all of you, do you think
I know the answer for me, and I know the answer that I would give to this question, but do y'all think that given that we go to such an institution that's very competitive, science-based, where the location that it's at, just our peers around us, do you think that that plays a role into how students go about changing their major? Maybe that's why they're hesitant. Maybe that's why they think they're not. Like, for me, I didn't think I was good enough to be in human bio because everyone else around me didn't look like me, didn't mm-hmm. get the same grades that I did, you know? And that's that was my, like, I was like, no, if they can do it, I can do it too. And at the end of the day, I could do it, but I was happier with the choice that I made. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I think that's probably accurate. I think that there are unfortunate elements, components, just things that are a part of this university that don't necessarily offer the best support, mm-hmm. Especially to students of color, in regards to STEM or STEM-related majors and activities. And I also feel like, as people of color, we've often been taught and told to keep going, don't stop, don't give up, don't, just keep going, you can do it. And so when you get to that point of thinking about, okay, should I change my major again? You're thinking I'm settling or I'm giving up, or, and that's not necessarily the case, because you're really fine tuning what you know and where you feel that you should be in regards to your skills and interests and, you know, knowledge and abilities and stuff like that. So I think you're right on. I think you're spot on with that.
Did it play a role with you, Heido or Sasha?
I definitely agree. Just because as a Chicano student that was in computer science, part of the reason that it was difficult for me to switch was because I didn't see many people that looked like me. Mm-hmm. And by staying in that major, I would be representing my community. Mm-hmm. And for me, I felt that was really important. Mm-hmm. But I understand that, you know, that can't, we don't always have that support too. And I can be happier and still represent my community under a different major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure that, you know, just us as people of color that we put on ourselves, you know, like, did anybody ask you to be the, you know, representative, like, for for all the Chicanos? Yeah. That's so a lot of pressure, and we fall into that. I mean, I fall into that as far, even as staff. I'm like, okay, yeah, I go into this meeting, I got to represent the black folks. Yeah, but can I really speak for all the black people everywhere? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so... But that is a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And hopefully students will feel like they don't have to put undue or unnecessary pressure on themselves. Hopefully they feel like, you know, they have the breath and the opportunity to explore, like you said, Sasha, and really take into account what's going to make them happy and what they deem as successful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Since Sasha, you said you changed your major your second year.
No, this quarter.
This quarter. Yeah. Okay. And
but I knew I was gonna change. Okay. Definitely since last year.
Mm-hmm. So in your second year, mm-hmm. how you said mm-hmm. earlier. Okay. And you came in
as a transfer student. Mm-hmm. So technically, as a junior standing when I decided to go into cognitive science. Mm.
Okay. And Maya, since you're mm-hmm. the expert, when is the best time? Is there a best time for students to switch their major?
You know, that's a really good question. I would say technically, right, just as far as units and stuff is concerned, you want to do it prior to having 150 units. Because at this point, if it's done 150 units or over, then there will need to be some level of approval through that student's college. Mm. So between 90 and let's say 149 units, that's probably the ideal time for students to explore, for them to try maybe different classes. In addition to, we haven't really talked about this yet, but internships. Might even want to use that as a tool to figure out, is this the right major? Like for me, that really helped to determine that civil engineering was not for me. So using either classes, internships, connecting with career services, stuff like that, would also help to make those decisions and to help students understand what their options are.
What is some of the most rewarding things that you do in your job and some of the most difficult things that you do?
Well, so I've been a MIR advisor for all of 3 months. But in those 3 months, I must say, because I'm starting to actually see students on my own, like during walk-ins and stuff like that. And it's just very rewarding, even in that short period of time that I have to meet with students. It's just very interesting to see them, you know, either the light bulb come on, an aha moment, just helping them, even if half the time I'm not even doing anything. I'm just listening to them and almost parroting like what they're saying and then just giving confirmation for something that they already know. So it's, you know, just kind of validating them in their process and as they're making decisions and letting them know that they're on the right track. That is extremely validating and a wonderful way, you know, just a wonderful, I know, experience to have with students, because I know so many times there are those, am I doing this right? You know, you're always second guessing. So that's very rewarding. In my previous position, it was a little bit different. So there were a lot of different aspects to the position. In addition to academic advising, I was planning events. I was also creating or helping to create and programming, scheduling classes, helping with building curriculum for the program. We were also actually looking at expanding the African American Studies minor to a major, and hopefully that's still on track. So there were just different aspects of that particular job, you know, that were also rewarding in addition to the students. So yeah, I've just been very blessed. And I guess part of my gratitude is to have had two jobs in my life that I absolutely, definitively, unequivocally love. Like,
that's the goal.
That's how I want to talk about my job.
Yeah, of course. Well, congrats on your new position.
Thank you.
I can tell that you like it, though.
Thank you.
And just by speaking with you, like, I'm pretty sure students, even how you said, like, you're not saying anything, but you have this comfort that you would give.
Can we have you at Revelle?
And for Heino and Sasha, what are some things that you see different now in your academic career, now that you changed your major? Like, how was it before and how is it now? In academically, personally, socially?
So I definitely used the resources to get there. I went to career services a lot, trying to figure out what there is within the major. And it's so new, so it's so broad, and that's definitely hard. So within that, I did research and different opportunities like labs, which is what has gotten me to kind of understand the kind of field that I want to do or the kind of career or profession that I want to get to. So it's a lot of researching on your own for my major specifically, because there's no one job for that. Like, so, and students worry about that too. Like, they feel like they have to have one specific role and, like she said, one specific way to get there, but that's not always the case, and that's where it gets hard. But just being optimistic about the different opportunities you have and actually trying them was definitely worth it and what got me there.
Are you happier?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yes.
So for me, I guess it changes more on a personal level. where originally when I was pursuing computer science, that became part of my identity and the way I defined myself. And for me now, I understand that's not entirely true. There's more to me than just being a major or being in the field.
That's strong.
Yeah. That is, wow. Oh my goodness. Because that also lends you the opportunity to still, you know, just be you, you know, for you to just sit on the couch and eat bonbons and watch Daredevil or something. Like, if you want to, like, it doesn't necessarily define your day. It doesn't define your decisions. It doesn't define, but you're making the decisions about how you're going to kind of progress, and that's different than the major or whatever you feel like your identity is in, making the decision for you or kind of, you know, pushing that forward. Wow.
Yeah. So for me, I guess I became more open to change and understanding that I can grow in different fields and it doesn't always have to be academic growth.
Yeah.
That's good. Dang. Wow, I'm so impressed with you guys.
And I think it's a reminder also, like, given that we're at UCSD, we made it this far. Just because we're in a specific major, if we love it, cool. If you don't and you want to work for it, cool. If you don't and you don't want to work for it, cool. You know, like just at the end of the day, being okay with the choices that you make and being not settling, like how you said.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And students I can see tend to settle, and they're struggling in their chemistry or math classes, and they're going to tutoring, but they're still not, you know, making it the way that they want to.
Or the way that they think they're supposed to.
Yes.
Because so many folks are, you know, pressuring them or telling them that this is what you have to do, or I'm only going to pay for your tuition if you major in XYZ.
Yeah.
How much pressure is that? Like, if someone is, you know,
it's
like
a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah, like dictating how you're going to go through college and they're not experiencing it, but you know, you are. Mm-hmm. What? Get out of here. And take your money.
Yeah.
Let me go find a scholarship. Like,
And it's not just academics, it's everything else that's going on in life.
Yeah, you go through a lot, like, and that it's not always academically that you're struggling, so it's hard to kind of keep the mindset of, like, there's a lot of things I have to do in school, but I also have to challenge myself in what I'm going through outside. So it's not, again, like, and I keep saying that, like, it's not an easy process, but it's so rewarding when you get there, and you really just have to try and be optimistic about the opportunities that the university does have for you.
Yeah, because there are, I mean, tons and tons of resources. But without having it, like, you know, just all centrally located where you could just go to UCSD resources and click, you know, you really have to either, you know, do get that networking on and either be in something like OASIS or the second year, you know, experience, something where people are gonna at least know where the majority of those resources are so that they can be shared, so that at least know, like, where they are, what it entails, if it would apply to you. Like, my whole thing is, if I would have had a career center like the one UCSD has, I might not have, you know, gone into political science. I might have chosen, you know, something completely different, but who knows? Mm-hmm. Career services is amazing. So, and many first year students, even second year students, don't necessarily use the Career Services Center even as a resource. A lot of times they're waiting until their fourth year to go to Career Services, which, you know, you might not want to wait that long.
It's never too late, but who knows?
Yeah.
Well, any last takeaways, any last comments, anything you want to say on specifically switching majors or your process?
No.
Okay. I think we pretty much covered everything, honestly, just given the experiences that you all had and the rewards and how you all feel now is also a big part into switching your major is okay.
Yeah.
And we all went through it, right?
Yeah, everybody.
It's more than okay.
It's more than okay, yeah.
And of course, like Maya, you know, originally you were a civil engineer, and when I see you talking about what you do now, I see your face beaming with joy. And I know it was a journey, but it's just really nice to see that, you know, you didn't settle and you really decided to switch into something that you'd much rather enjoy.
Yeah.
So the sooner that students can find that passion, right. even though I know it's a difficult one,
yep.
it's very rewarding.
Yes, yes,
all worth it. And I think something that goes along with that is a lot of students, like, for me, the reality check was also that I failed a chemistry class, like, to begin with. And a lot of students go through that, and then their GPA is down, so they feel like they can't do things like internships, opportunities, things like that while they're finding their major, which helps them kind of know if they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they settle and they're like, my grade's not good, so I'm not gonna get in. But that's completely false. Like, I think I internalized that a lot, but once I actually went out and tried them, like, I actually got the positions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely worth trying. Like, yeah. that's still part of it.
We have Sasha and Heido as an example. And Maya, I mean,
yeah.
look at where you're at now.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing. Yeah. Wow, thank you so much for having us.
Of course.
This
of
was
course.
Fun.
And just to close off the podcast, something that we want to, on a positive note, of mm-hmm. course, switching majors can be challenging, nerve-wracking. It can be good. Who knows for different people. But I was listening to a podcast this morning on Spotify called An Audio Guide to Happiness. And the first one is 5 Benefits of Gratitude. And that's something that I don't really think about, like, gratitude. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom does say it occasionally, you know, when I nag on about something. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you should be grateful you have this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically what it means, just being grateful for something.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5 benefits that the podcast or that the person speaking in the podcast mentions is that gratitude is a positive emotion, is a positive social emotion that allows a sense of connection. So if you're grateful about certain aspects in life or you're grateful about the people in your life, you have that other, like, deeper level of, like, hey, this other person is someone else. They are a human being. They are like me. And it's a bigger sense of connection. It's opposite of depression, because when you're grateful for something, you're thinking of the positive things in life. It's motivation, because it can motivate folks to just, you know, head on forward, change that major if they need mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of like reality checks.
Mm-hmm.
It increases a sense of self-worth, because when you do something for other people, you know that you're either taking your time, your money, you're going out of your way. So just being grateful for other folks, again, going back to the first one, and it connects us to something bigger. So gratitude, being grateful, is something that I think we should all do. Can we all mention maybe something that we're grateful for?
Wow.
Now, like, if you really think about your life, you know, it doesn't have to be just academic. It can be whatever you want. Just something that you're grateful for. Or someone. I know, putting you all on the spot. Tell me something that you're grateful for.
I guess for me, it would be, I am grateful for the opportunities that pursuing higher education has given me.
Yeah.
You know, just being here at UCSD, there's many faculty that I'm able to connect with. I'm able to work in their labs, apply for fellowships, be here in great company of the community at Oasis, just because, mm-hmm. you know, I attended here at UCSD.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I think I'm grateful for my path and everyone along it, because these programs that gave to me and that now I'm able to give back, I feel so happy doing it, and I feel all those senses of gratitude that you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's my best gratitude.
I guess for me, it would kind of, I guess, go more on a spiritual level. Just being thankful, having a relationship with God. I don't think I ever would have went back to school, because I did get my master's in post-secondary higher education, and then that's kind of what led me to the previous job that I had. But without that connection, or maybe that bigger purpose, more than likely probably would not have pursued it, or even thought that I could do it while working and all that good stuff. So being in two jobs that I love now, I don't know if that would have happened, actually, yeah, not having that connection. So definitely grateful for that. And then also just grateful for the opportunities that have been afforded to me in these two jobs. I get to work with amazing students, amazing people, work on awesome committees. I've been serving on the Black Academic Excellence Initiative. I also serve on the UGMA Black History Month Scholarship Brunch, helped to plan that, and then also the scholarship. So I just have all these awesome opportunities and connections to just be around our folk and do awesome things. It's just amazing. So I'm grateful for that.
Y'all make me smile. I'm grateful for life. I was in a car accident last week, actually, and it wasn't bad, but, you know, just thinking, being in that situation, like, really made me reflect on, like, the people that I'm grateful for. My dog, he's adorable. And just grateful in the position that I am as well. I graduated last year, and I never thought I would work at Oasis again, but I love it. So there's a reason why I'm here. There's a path for me. Let's see what's in store for me, you know? Of course, I have to do my own research as well. But I'm just grateful for life.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sharing. I'm very glad that you all came. Thank you, Maya, for, you know, getting out of your office, coming all the way down here to come help us out with this podcast.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
and I feel like I got to know you, like, within this, too.
Yep. So, connect. It's all about networking. Yeah. A couple of reminders, Oasis has Study Madness Wednesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 10 p.m., so if anyone needs a space to study. The Second Year Experience newsletters come out every Monday, and make sure to click on the flyers for any workshops. It directs you right to the links. Not a lot of folks know that, so if you just keep scrolling down to whatever information you need to know, click on the flyers. And if you need any other information, you can always go onto the Oasis website at oasis.ucsd.edu. And specifically for Second Year Experience, just click on the Second Year Experience tab. So thank you for tuning in with us, everyone. And until next time.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!